You know, the last two Sundays we were able to come here and do worship and do this message from here. It's really funky to do a message looking out on empty seats, though. It really is, I got to tell you. Or staring at my computer screen, it's even worse, you know. So glad to be here today. I really wanted to speak about a word that the Lord put in my heart, and it is a word about courage. I read a funny story to kind of get us started about two young boys that went to the dentist. And the first boy said to the dentist, "Doc, go ahead and pull my tooth." No, what did he say? "Go ahead and pull the tooth. Don't need any Novocaine." The doc said, "Well, you're a brave young sort, huh? Which tooth do you want pulled?" And he looked to the friend that was with him and said, "Show him, Jimmy, which one you want pulled." Uh-huh. Courage for somebody else, huh? Until you are the one, right? Do you know the classic faith story, Josh? It's one that I've told before, but it's so appropriate, you know. It's about the guy that was walking a high wire across Niagara Falls. You remember that one? And how the crowd gathered and everybody was encouraging him to do it again. And he said to the crowd, "Do you think I can do it again?" "Yeah, you can do it again." And he grabbed a wheelbarrow, you know, and the dog was in the wheelbarrow the first time around. He put the dog out. And he said, "You believe I can do it again?" "Yes." He said, "Okay, you who believe, get in the wheelbarrow." No takers, right? Yeah, faith is proved by its actions, right? Yeah, courage. I like what Winston Churchill said. He said, "Without courage, all other virtues lose their meaning." I actually really appreciate what Martin Luther King said when he was speaking about courage. And he said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy." Powerful stuff, huh? You know, the situation that we find ourselves in the world today, not just America, but in the world today, most definitely calls for courage. There's no question about it. You know, the issues that we have to deal with are calling for courage. I like to actually look at, you know, the definition of words, you know. Courage is not the absence of fear. In fact, if there were no fear, there would be no courage, if you can think of that. Courage is the ability to act, you know, whenever fear comes, you act in a way that demonstrates that you have something you believe in that is higher, more powerful, or stronger than the fear that you face. Yeah. You know, there was a great English missionary, C.T. Studd. How would you like to have a last name like Studd? Come on, isn't that a good last name? What's your last name? Studd. C.T. Studd. It's the truth. C.T. Studd. No wonder he went by initials. He liked the last name, C.T. Studd. He's a good guy, though. English missionary. He wrote these words, really just talked about the passion of his heart. Listen to this. No wonder he was called Stud. He said, "Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." Did you ever hear that one before? Tell me that's not powerful stuff. How can a man, you know, make a statement like that? Once again, "Some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." That's powerful stuff. What drives a man to say something like that? Courage. No Wizard of Oz parodies here. But true, courage, right? But what impassioned the courage? What emboldened it? What drove it? Mission. Mission. I remember one year, oh, it was a good while ago, that Paul Rummel was focused on a phrase in the Bible. And that phrase was, is there not a cause? Do you remember that, Paul? That's a good while ago. We're getting old. Nah, just better. Is there not a cause? That passage actually comes from the scripture in 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter, whenever David, young David, before he was king, whenever he was actually sent to the battlefield, not to fight, but to actually provide some food for his brothers, right, who were fighting. But when David got there, if you remember, right, he found out what was going on. And he began to inquire, right, of the armies. And his older brother, Eliab, heard about the young whippersnapper that was, you know, speaking these words of courage. And his brother, you know, criticized him. Eliab criticized him. He said, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down here to see the battle. And David responded, if you read it in the King James, he says, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Cause. Paul was interpreting that passage as David was willing to fight for a cause, a mission, a purpose, if you will, right? And the fact is, the Bible is full of stories of people, God's people, who believed that their God-given mission was worth the fight. Courageous people of faith. In fact, in the New Testament, there's a whole chapter dedicated to these people, right? We call it the faith chapter. Isn't that a cool thing? A whole chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, called the faith chapter. And what is it about? It's there to inspire us. Because as the list goes on and on of people we knew and people we never heard of before until that passage in Scripture, are written to describe people who acted in faith and were able to do exploits, incredible things through God, right? By faith. Because they were driven by mission. They were driven by eternity. We read that that even Noah, right? Being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, right? So that he would build an ark for the saving of his household and became, it says, the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Abraham, right? The father of our faith. I like the passage in that scripture, Paul, that says that he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, right? And Sarah judged God to be faithful and promised, and as he made good on that promise, that to her was born as many as the stars of the sky through her seed. It said in the end of that passage about Abraham and Sarah, he said they desired a better country, a heavenly country, so that God was not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I really think that part of what we must do in these times, you know, it's true and it's just human to understand that we don't like to be reminded of our mortality. We don't really like to be reminded of our mortality. You know what that means. We don't like to be reminded that we are going to die. It's just natural. Understand. But part of why we don't like to be reminded, right, is because we refuse to focus on the immortal. We haven't spent the time right? To think like these people of faith thought, that there is indeed coming a better city, a better country, a better world, and that we'll be there for eternity, right? We have to be driven by eternity. But understand that this life is critical for all eternity. Isn't that the right balance, church? Driven by eternity, but understanding how important this life is in view of that eternity. It's why at the end of this faith chapter, die. It's why at the end of it, Paul would write, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles and run with," you know this word, Tom? "Run with endurance." You know that word. You understand what it means. Run with perseverance, endurance, the race that is marked out for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The greatest example of courage that this world ever saw was Jesus Christ. And when Paul writes about the race that's set before him, he's talking about the cause that's set before him, the mission, the purpose that he accepted is the purpose of his life on this earth to prepare for the one that's coming, right? To pave the way, just as Jesus paved the way and gave us the mission to follow him in accomplishing his commission, right? Now listen to these words. You might have heard them before, but in the context of what we're talking about today, courage, listen to these words. It says, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. Therefore. Now, when there's a therefore, you better understand what it's there for. Right? It's connecting the previous statement. So, all authority, Jesus says, is given to me everywhere. Right? Therefore, go. In that authority, right? Delegated to you. And make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you. Always to the end of this age. Now let me tell you, number one, the way to overcome fear and allow courage to rise up in your life in these days for such a time as this is, number one, remember your God-given mission, your purpose, our mission as the church. Remember why we're here, right? It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to caught up in the day-to-day. You know, it's so easy to lose sight of that big picture mission in the midst of us trying to figure out everything else that goes on in our life. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that we are saved for a purpose, right? We are indeed God's workmanship, right? Created what? To do good things, right? To do His will, to accomplish the purposes of our life, which are to fulfill the mission that Jesus has on this earth. To be salt and light. To be people of faith that demonstrate that faith in our lives so that others would see. Right? But number two, in order to be able to overcome fear and allow courage to rise up within you, you not only have to remember your mission, but you have to remember your position, D. Position. I want to read you another passage of Scripture. Listen to this. Again, building upon this authority that we understand Jesus has, right? Paul would write in the book of Ephesians these words. He says, "For this reason, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." What was he praying? Do you remember this prayer? "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." He said the power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. Placed everything under his feet, God said. Everything under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now later, Paul would tack on to this prayer. He said, and God then raised you up, us up, with Christ Jesus, and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. All right, let's connect those two, Josh, all right? So we just read that God has taken Jesus and raised him up in the highest place, above any other power, any other authority, has given him, as you know, we sang it, the name that is above all names, put everything under his feet. He is seated at the right hand of God, right? And then Paul says, and you have been seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What he's talking about is this positional, delegated authority that he has given to us, his church, us, the saints, to know who we are and to know our position in Christ so that we can take our mission and couple with it an understanding of our position, that we move in the authority of God and in the power that is delegated from him to us, the power that is like the strength that raised him from the dead, that is at work in us who believe. Paul is speaking words of courage to our heart, to know the truth of our mission and our position, so that we would not shrink back, but that we would understand we've been given mission and position to accomplish purpose, right? So listen, the second step to this courage is remembering who you are in Christ Jesus. To remember that in him you are strong. In him you are more than a conqueror. And how do we become reminded of that? Third step. The third R, if you will, right? Remember your mission, remember your position, and then reconnect with people of faith. Do you know, this last October we had the chance to go to Israel, as you know. We've talked about that. But what I didn't talk about is how incredible it is to be in a room filled with saints of God who are on the battlefield every day. To be together with them and to hear their words of faith. Do you understand that the reason that the scripture says don't give up meeting together, right? Is that, listen, we indeed are inspired by being around people of faith. We're inspired by being around with people who are demonstrating that faith. We need that. I mean, how often are you? I mean, how often are you able to hang out with people? I mean, the stories that we would hear from the battlefield, if you were, because it is a battlefield out there. I got to tell you, now this is just off my notes completely, but I just really feel strongly, very strongly, that we need to start waking up in America. There are challenges that the church has faced in other countries that maybe we are not aware of. Challenges that have required incredible courage in the face of incredible danger and are being met day by day by people who risk their lives to accomplish mission. That takes courage. Do you remember the words of Jim Elliot? He is no fool. To him who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. Courage. You develop that courage indeed, not only by remembering your mission, understanding your position, but by being around, reconnecting with people of faith. That's why it was a devastating blow to prohibit the church of God to come together. Oh, I've heard lots of things, some of which are true. When two or more are gathered in your name, there I am in the midst. That's true. I've heard, you know, it all. We don't need church to be the church. It's true. We are the church. But it is also equally true that the scriptures say, do not give up the habit of meeting together. Why? Because we encourage one another. We are in this together. We need one another. We need the kind of testimonies of faith that are shared that inspire us to the same kind of living faith. We need to hang out with people who are on the front lines, and whatever that front line may be. I've seen courage in the craziest of places, you know. I've seen courage in the life of a mother whose five-year-old child was diagnosed with cancer. You want to talk about courage that inspires tears? Hang around with people like that. I've seen courage from people who feel their calling has been more important than their own personal well-being or safety, and have put themselves at risk to help others. And I've seen Christians that are true Christians that are out there doing whatever they can to help people that are in need, that aren't thinking about themselves. You know, I've heard off my notes again, I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I've heard a lot of discussion lately about the violation of rights. And rightly so. I mean, rights have been violated. But I want to tell you what God calls us to. God calls us to responsibility over rights. Oh, got quiet in here. I got to say it. You know, the focus on right, it's right. It's not good to have rights being taken away. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But there are times when God is going to call you to exercise responsibility over your right. You know, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, it's a great passage of scripture, right? It talks about imitating Christ's humility, right? Right? And then it says, you know, in your humility, consider others before yourself. And the context is that you're following the example of Jesus, who had the right to be called the Son of God, who had the right to come to this earth and squash all his enemies, who had the right to speak to those people who were mocking him on the cross and strike them dead, who had the right to be called equal with God because he was, But it says that he did not consider that something to be grasped, but in humility he took the form of a servant. That's exercising responsibility over rights. That's considering someone else before you stand up and squawk about your rights being violated. Oh, again, please hear me clearly. It's not a good thing when rights are violated. But you know what we need to do as Christians? We need to demonstrate that we are willing to accept responsibility over rights. And I would hope, maybe against hope, Joe, but I would hope as Christians demonstrate this principle, that the government, at least the godly part, the godly people in government, would recognize that they can trust people to do what's right rather than impose restrictions that violate basic human rights. Are you hearing me this morning? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll be plain. To understand that we can be trusted, that if we're sick, we're not going to go out and willfully infect someone else. We can be trusted to do what's right so that our rights don't have to be violated. You see, that's what's at stake. That's what's going on here. And this, again, completely off my notes, but that's what's going on. The government believes that you can't be trusted, and so they know better, and they're taking away rights. Nowhere in my notes today. But that's the truth of what's going on. Why? Well, that's because there are a few crazies. Like Kim was telling me on the way to church today, you know, like was it a teenager? An older teen that was saying, now that's a true statement. She heard that. You know, that's the kind of wrong, crazy, terrible, evil thinking that some who would like to abuse power say, oh, we got to protect against that. Right? And so they impose a restriction upon everyone who don't need that restriction. Because we are here to demonstrate responsibility over right in loving one another, right? All right, now back to my notes. Number four. All right, little number four. You ready? Last one. We need, this is what Kim was really speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit today, I'm convinced, when she was talking in between the worship set there. We need to renew our mind. Oh, my Lord. You got to understand, you know, as a man is, thinketh, so is he. You got to understand that if you are living on a diet of secular media at this time, you are putting poison into your mind, and it is having an influence. If you are living on a diet of Facebook, I'll just say it.
Amen.
I mean, turn that stinking thing off. Please don't be believing all the crap that you're seeing there. And if you are, hey, listen, I am not saying that you should deprive yourself of truthful information. But understand the words I just spoke, truthful information. If you are looking for information, make sure you're looking in the right places. And you are not feeding yourself off of the lies and mistruths and half-truths that are being propagated out there today. because as Kim said in her sharing during worship, all that is intended for is fear-mongery. And it is not of God. We know fear is not of God. Can I tell you, what we need, though, truly, is not information, it is transformation. You know that passage in Romans chapter 12, right? You know, do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. The renewing of our mind comes, right? Again, in Philippians, where it talks about the things that we should think upon. Whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is pure, think on these things. Put that in your mind. And renew your mind with the truth of God's Word. And as you feed upon a diet of God's Word, God, through the Holy Spirit that you have within you, takes that Word and speaks into your soul to bring you peace, confidence, and courage. Now is not a time to shrink back. We need to remember our mission. We need to remember our position. We need to reconnect with people of faith. We need to renew our minds by the Word of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, that we may be equipped by God to accomplish the purposes that He has for every one of us in this time. How can you tell? If it's working, fear begins to dissipate. Faith begins to rise up. And courage conquers all. As you know, you're following the one who is leading you into indeed a battle. The battle, though, that you have been created for. What was that hockey team years and years ago, Tom? In the Olympics, that they went up against Russia, and Russia was undefeated by years. I don't remember exactly what year that was. 80. Yeah. You remember what the coach said? Did you read that? What the coach said to them as they were going into that final game with Russia? You were made for this. You were made for this. You were made to be that light, that truth speaker, that faith inspirer, that courage bearer, to go forth today and live not in fear, but in the faith of the Son of God who goes before you. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have given us a mission and you've never rescinded it. You are working out that purpose, that plan, that mission upon the earth, and you call us to be a part of it, to follow you, Lord, our Commander-in-Chief, into a battle that, yes, is getting rougher. But this is what you told us would happen. Lord, it's come even to America, and we haven't been ready for it. We haven't been thinking about it. We have been living a pretty good life, forgetting, though, that all around the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ have been paying for the discharging of their faith with their very lives. But Lord, this is now a test, I'm convinced. This is a wake-up call for your church to rise up and be the powerful church of courage that you indeed have commissioned and that you are leading. So Lord, help us to hear your call now and to respond in faith and courage, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.